Father, as we prepare for this week, we have a lot of things that we could be worried about. Plans for the regional, the food, the refreshments, the program, the speaker, traveling. Teach us not to do that, Father. Teach us to do what we can, to be faithful, to be responsible, and to walk in faith. Thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you for all of the promises. Thank you for the way you communicate with us, as Casey shared with us this morning, led our worship. We love you, Father. We thank you so much for your concern for us, that you have gone to the trouble to communicate with us in so many different ways. Thank you for desiring to connect with us. Thank you for your word, Father. It's the clearest explanation that we have of what you want us to do, how you want us to live, and all that you have done and will do for us. Truly, we are looking for that day that we'll hear that trumpet. We'll see our Lord. We'll never again have to walk by faith, because we'll be able to see him face to face. What a day that will be, when my Jesus I shall see. Until then, may we walk focused on him, looking unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. We are working our way through 1 Peter, and we're getting pretty close to the end, in case you hadn't noticed. Holy and hope-filled living in a hostile world. In a hostile world that we live in, there's a lot to worry about. But Peter had said, beginning in 1 Peter 5:6, "Therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you." We started this passage last week, and we thought last week, okay, so what did the 1 Peter people have to be worried about? And just going through the book, some of the things that Peter writes about gave us a long list. Various trials, interpersonal conflict. How many of you love interpersonal conflict? Few things wear me out more than interpersonal conflict. Give me a hard day's physical work, give me all sorts of other things. Physical conflict just wears me out. People who disbelieve and are disobedient to the word, fleshly lusts warring against the souls. Anybody relate to fleshly lusts warring against the soul? I think that still happens. I don't think that's just a first century thing. Being slandered as evildoers by the unsaved, harsh, unreasonable masters causing unjust suffering. Surely you don't have any of those in your life and have never had that kind of thing. Still didn't get that fixed. Suffering for the sake of righteousness, for doing what is right. Being slandered, their good behavior reviled, being maligned because they don't run with the unbelievers into excesses of dissipation. Anybody been ridiculed because you don't go out drinking with the people and you don't go out running and carousing with them? Experiencing a fiery ordeal, being reviled for the name of Christ, suffering as a Christian, suffering according to the will of God, while doing what's right, being stalked by Satan. These were some of the things that they might have been worried about, and guess what? Lo and behold, things aren't that much different. Things aren't that much different. We still have these same things to be worried about. So we talked about that, and not only that, but you know, we have nuclear disaster and environmental disaster and the whole world being blown apart that they didn't have to worry about. So we've got all of their worries plus more. So why aren't we worried? Well, unfortunately, sometimes we are. Many of the same things plus global disasters. In light of these things, what do? We worry. Worry has been called the great American pastime. Someone once said, love looks forward, hate looks back, but anxiety has eyes all over its head. You've got to picture that. Okay? Corrie ten Boom said, worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow, it empties today of its strength. What's wrong with worry? It's forbidden by God, therefore it's sin. This is one of those acceptable sins, though. Adultery, immorality, drunkenness, those are unacceptable sins. Worry, that's one of those acceptable sins, it's okay. No, it's one of the ones that we tolerate, but we shouldn't. Sin. Let's get real and call, a spade a spade. If worrying is forbidden, then it's sin. And it needs to be confessed and forsaken. Betrays improper priorities. We're putting too many things in front of what the spiritual priorities we ought to be having. It projects improper priorities of God. God takes care of the birds of the air and takes care of the daisies and he's not going to take care of us? Really? You really think that? Even the hairs of your head are numbered. How many of you did our daily bread reading this morning? Even the very hairs of your head are numbered. And God's not going to take care of you? What do you have to worry about? Okay, if you didn't do our daily bread, you can pick one up on the way out. We have more. It's useless anyway. Worrying never fixed anything. Betrays a lack of faith. It exposes a worldly attitude. You're worried about what to wear, what you're going to eat, you know, where's the money going to come from, instead of being concerned about spiritual growth, spiritual matters, living for the Lord, walking with Him. It's not childlike. Talking about, you know, what if you're tucking your child into bed and the child says, Daddy, I can't sleep. Well, really, what's wrong? Well, I'm just worried that you won't have enough money to pay the rent. How would you feel if your child was worried about something like that? Wouldn't you feel like, man, I have failed as a parent, that my child would be worried about something? And yet, what are we doing to our Father in heaven who promised to take care of us when we do that? Multiplies your problems, doesn't fix anything, stifles the fruitfulness of the word. Jesus talked about that in the parable of the sower and the soils. It distracts you from devotion to the Lord. It weighs down your heart. It robs you of God's peace. Okay, so what do we do about it? Okay, I realize that often I'm much better at pointing out the problem than I am pointing out solutions. So we're going to work on some solutions this morning. Aren't you glad you came back on last week? Nobody said anything. That worries me. Okay, antidotes to worry. Casting all your anxiety upon Him because He cares for you. I'd like to suggest, and this really isn't in the passage anywhere, but I'd like to suggest the first antidote to worry is you've got to recognize it. You've got to recognize you're doing it. How can you deal with a problem if you're not cognizant that you have a problem? Recognize you're doing it. And unfortunately, we don't pay attention to what we're thinking very often. Have you ever noticed that? We don't pay attention to what we're thinking. Let me suggest two ways to help you in that awareness issue. Avoid amusements. I'm not talking about never, but have you seen people? They spend all of their day walking around with earbuds in. So not only do they not have to see anything around them, they don't have to listen to anything around them. Oh, but also, there's no time left for quiet meditation because all of their attention is constantly being focused on something outside of themselves. Constantly being focused on something outside of themselves. Think about the word amusement with me. The basis of it is the word muse. Okay? To muse, this is out of my dictionary that I have, you know. To muse is to become absorbed in thought, especially to turn something over in the mind meditatively. To muse on something. Okay? Meditate on something, thinking about it. Therefore, musing is thinking carefully about things, especially your life. Okay, I was looking for an opportunity to use those three dots that just... Okay? Musing means thinking carefully about things, especially your life. Then when you put the A in front of it, it negates that. Amusement. So an amusement is something designed to keep you from thinking meditatively about your life. That's what an amusement is. It's something to keep you distracted rather than you thinking carefully, meditatively about your life. And we have them in an abundance. I know people say, every generation has said, this is the worst generation. We've got it worse than anybody has ever had. But you know what? We've got it worse than anybody ever had. We do. Never before have people been able to carry around an object in their pocket that can transport them mentally around the world. Never before. When I was growing up, Dick Tracy had his wristwatch radio. Remember? How many of you going to admit to being that old? Okay. That was science fiction back then. What we have in our phones today would have been inconceivable back then. Absolutely inconceivable. Fairy tale. Science fiction. And we can become so preoccupied, so distracted, that we don't stop and meditate on what's going on in our heart. What's going on in our lives? Now, I'm not saying that you can't ever do things that are fun and distracting and just mindless. I'm not saying you can't ever do those. But do you have some time set aside that you quiet your heart, you turn off all that stuff, and you quiet your heart before God? If you don't do that, at some point, you're probably going to just keep worrying and you won't even recognize you're doing it. Be careful of amusement. Let me suggest another way, and I often get grumbling when I suggest this, but let me suggest the process of journaling. Journaling. It's, some people say, oh, that's just a gimmick. Well, yeah, so are lots of other things. So are daily devotion. So is our daily bread. You know? No, it's a tool. How many of you have read biographies of missionaries and godly people from the past? Back in the day before, you know, they could record everything. Hello, I'd like to tell you about my day, you know. Where in the world did they get the information to reconstruct those people's lives? Most of the time, it was from their journals. Because people back then tended to take pen and paper. Maybe you want to do it on your computer, that's fine. But sitting down and thinking about a passage of Scripture and how it impacts your life and what's going on in your life and what you're doing. How is your walk with the Lord compared to a year ago? Have you ever stopped to think about that? That's one benefit of journaling, is you can go back and read pages from a year ago. Say, okay, I was struggling with something a year ago. Wow, God has given me victory over that. Praise the Lord. Now I'm struggling with something else. And next year, Lord willing, God will have given me victory over that, and it'll be a new challenge because Satan doesn't let up. If you have never tried journaling, let me suggest it. Some people hate it. Some people love it. But it's a tool that you can use to stop yourself from being so busy living life that you don't take time to analyze what's going on in my mind, what's going on in my walk with the Lord. If you don't stop and take time, you'll probably continue worrying without ever realizing you're doing it. Okay, that wasn't exactly in the passage. That was free. Okay. Secondly, humble yourselves before God. I would suggest that worry is a natural byproduct of pride. Worry is a natural byproduct of pride. Okay, if you start with pride, and then you get a healthy dose of reality. Pride says, I'm in charge of my life. I can take care of myself. I don't need God. And then you get a healthy dose of reality and you realize, I can't do this. Leads to anxiety. If you think you're in charge of fixing everything, if you think it all depends on you, and then you realize you can't, you are setting yourself up for a healthy dose of worry and anxiety. That's where humility comes in. Because not only can you not take care of everything yourself, you're not supposed to. You don't have to. God said, I got this. Don't worry about it. Walk by faith, not by sight. But too many times our pride won't let us submit to God, call upon Him for help, because we think, I got to do this myself. It's all up to me. I think that's why He said right before this, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that He may exalt you, casting all your anxiety upon Him. Humility, faith, lack of worry, they go together. Pride, anxiety, worry, they go together. I don't think Peter was just throwing words together when he said in verse 5, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. I think Peter is reminding his readers, it's okay to humble yourselves before God because He's got the mighty hand. He's the one who is able to take care of the problems you're facing. You don't have to spend time worrying about them. God has the mighty hand. You don't have to. You're His child, the child that He loves and has promised to take care of. But how often we forget that? How often we forget that? We think it all depends on us. Some people look at that phrase, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, and they get scared. Oh, mighty hand of God. God's ready to, He's ready to squash me like a bug if I just get out of His care. If I just step out of line, boy, He's there to, He's going to get me. That's not Peter's point. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, casting all your cares upon Him because He cares for you. If He didn't have the mighty hand, then it would be dangerous. It would be foolish to cast all your cares upon Him. But because He has the mighty hand, it's not only wise, it's the sensible thing to do. Because God has got this. Okay? You probably remember the song, He's got the whole world in His hand. He's got you and me, brother, in His hand. That's what He wants us to know. We're in His hand. We're safe. We're secure. He's got this. Trust the God who has the mighty hand. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Let Him be your umbrella. Let Him be your armor. Let Him be your shelter. Let Him be your fortress. Let Him be your rock. So you relieve yourself of the responsibility of having to be all those things. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Again, Corrie ten Boom. Never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. Do you know what's going to happen tomorrow? No. Oh, I might get in a car accident. Yeah. Oh, I might lose my job. Yep. Oh, the doctor might call with a bad report. Yep. You know what? God already knows all about that. But also, you may get to tomorrow and none of those three things happen. And then you would have wasted today worrying about those things that never came. How much sense does that make? How much sense does that make who claim to believe in the God of creation, the God of the mighty hand? How much sense does it make to worry ourselves about things that He's got under His control? We sang, "This is my Father's world." Really believe that? Is He in charge or not? Does Scripture, does nature, does creation reveal a mighty God? Casey mentioned that, Romans chapter 1. What does nature reveal to us? His eternal power and Godhood. Whatever you find out about God, you can go up to the mountains and you say, "Wow, must be a pretty strong God that made these." But you suppose He can take care of your tomorrow? He made the mountains. He made the world. He made the sun. He made the solar system. He made all the galaxies. We're just beginning to understand the expanse of all creation. And God spoke that into existence. How much trouble is it going to be for Him to take care of your tomorrow? He doesn't need that mighty hand. He doesn't even need His little finger. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Trust the God who has the mighty hand. Verse 6 ends, "That He may exalt you at the proper time." That He may exalt you at the proper time. Again, Casey concluded his worship with, "The King is coming. The King is coming. Jesus is coming back for us. He will take us out of this world." We had a lady who used to go to our church. You're a little slow this morning. We had a lady who said, "Pastor Dave, I don't like reading the book of Revelation. It scares me. If I didn't read the last chapters, it'd scare me too. But I know who wins. I know who wins. I've read the end of the book. He will exalt us in the proper time." Don't worry about trying to exalt yourself. He'll take care of that in the right time. Again, our daily bread talked about the disciples arguing among themselves who was going to be the greatest. Who's going to be the greatest? Jesus said, "You want to know who's going to be the greatest?" He took a little child and set him in front of them. He said, "Unless you become a little child, you shall not enter the kingdom." Little child. Childlike faith will be greatest in the kingdom. He will exalt you at the proper time. Really, really believe that? That that's how the story ends? With us receiving crowns from Jesus at the Bema Seat? Do we really believe that? Then what are we worrying about? Not only is God taking care of the end, but He's taking care of every step in between too. He's got it under His control. Trust God who will exalt you at the proper time. And so verse 7, the main verse we're looking at, casting all your anxiety upon Him because He cares for you. This is viewed as part of the command to humble ourselves. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, casting all your... That's part of humbling yourself. If you're not casting your cares upon Him, you haven't humbled yourself before Him. Grammatically, they're connected. The command is back in the humble yourself. Casting all your cares upon Him is a part of that. It's an expression of that. Notice, casting how many of your anxieties upon Him? All of them. Oh, well, yeah, I'm willing to, you know, cast some of my anxieties on Him, but, you know, there's some I've got to keep. There's some I just got to hang on to because it feels so good for me to worry about these things. High blood pressure, you know, ulcers. You know, it does so much good for you to waste your time worrying. Casting all your anxiety upon Him. Again, sometimes I think we make two mistakes with this. Sometimes we think, oh, well, you know, this is too small to bother God with. Really? He knows the numbers of the hairs on your head. What is less important than that? I mean, some of you has to keep a running total. Okay, you'll get that later. What could be less important than the number of the hairs on your head? And yet he even knows that about you. There's nothing too trivial to take before him. There's nothing too trivial. He wants to hear it all. Besides that, because he has the mighty hand, there's nothing too big for him. There's nothing too big for him. Can God deal with that cancer diagnosis? Yeah. Can God deal with that loss of job? Yeah. Can God deal with that relationship that seems like it's just never going to get right? Yeah. There is nothing too big for our God. And there's nothing too small for him to care. And so Peter says, casting all your anxiety upon him. The big things, the little things. If it's a worry to you, cast it on him. Let him take care of it. Somebody once said, you know, it's like, God's going to be awake all night anyway, so why should both of you stay awake? Go ahead and sleep. He's going to be awake anyway. He never sleeps. He never slumbers. So why should you bother staying awake worrying about stuff? He'll be awake anyway. He'll take care of it. Get some sleep. Casting all your anxiety upon him because he cares for you. I think this is the bottom line. Do we really believe God cares? Do we really believe that the God of the mighty hand who sent Jesus to die on the cross for our sins really cares about everything about us? Do we really believe that? We may say we do. We may say, oh yeah, of course, God cares about everything. You hear the butt coming? But there's still this thing I have to worry about. No, there isn't. There's nothing you have to worry about. There's nothing you have to worry about. It's interesting when Nehemiah's day, when they were rebuilding the temple, or rebuilding the wall around the city of Jerusalem, they took a sword and they took the builder's tools. The sword because they were doing due diligence. They were being responsible. The builder's tools because ultimately they were trusting God to enable them to rebuild the wall. It's not that you just sit back and say, okay, God's going to take care of this, so I don't need to bother going to work tomorrow. God's going to pay my bills, he promised. No, God gave you health and a job, and he expects you to work it. That's how he's providing for your needs. But what if I lose my job? Don't go there. God's going to take care of it. Don't go there. Don't worry about things that may never happen. Trust God. Know that he cares for you. Think about the disciples out in the boat on the Sea of Galilee in the storm. Jesus asleep in the stern of the boat. They finally wake him up and they say, Lord, don't you care that we are perishing? And you want to slap him. You're questioning that Jesus cares? Seriously, guys? You're questioning that he cares? And yet, how often do we act just like those disciples in the storm, wondering if Jesus even cares? And we've got the cross that they didn't have yet, as proof of how much Jesus cares. two other passages I want to look at. We've wrap this up. Go to Philippians chapter 4. I expect some of you are already thinking about this passage. Antidotes to worry. Philippians 4:6. Be anxious for nothing. Wow, it almost sounds like Paul's been reading Peter, huh? Casting all your cares upon him because he cares for you. Be anxious for nothing. Don't worry about anything. No exceptions. Oh, but no, no exceptions. Well, yeah, but no, no exceptions. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Pray to God. Well, why pray when you can worry? No, why worry when you can pray? And everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. You know, it's really hard to be worried about the future when your mind is filled with thanksgiving for what you've got and for what God has already done. It's really hard. That's why thanksgiving is so important. That's why, as we did here this morning, worship is so important. Because it takes the focus of our mind off of ourselves and puts it where it ought to be, on God. Because when our focus is on God, then all of our problems become a manageable size because we see God. When all we do is focus on our problems and our problems seem enormous, but when we focus on God, then our problems seem puny. Casting all our cares upon Him because He cares for us. In everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And what's going to happen? The peace of God that passes all comprehension shall guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus. You will know His peace if you pray with thanksgiving. You'll never know His peace if you continue to worry. Your worry will defeat His peace in your life. And God wants us to have His peace. A couple pages further, Colossians chapter 3. Colossians 3, starting verse 1. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, and you have, keep seeking the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on things that are on the earth. Okay? So, if you want to worry about things in heaven, go ahead and feel free. But just don't worry about anything here on earth, okay? Well, Dave, that's kind of stupid. I can't do anything about the things in heaven. Bingo! Bingo! You got it. Set your mind on the things... Well, that means you are deliberately, consciously determining what you're going to think about, and worrying ain't one of them. Worrying is not included. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with Him in glory. Sounds like he's been reading Peter. You know? God's going to take care of everything in the future. So set your mind on the things above, not on things that are on the earth. Don't worry. Sounds like Paul's been reading Peter. Or maybe they're being led by the same Holy Spirit to write what they wrote. And maybe there's a reason why it's repeated in Philippians, in Colossians, in 1 Peter. Because we keep worrying. Matthew 6, time and time again, Scripture tells us, don't worry, don't be afraid. Pray, trust, walk by faith. And what do? Worry. Because after all, it all depends on us. No, that's that pride. That's that pride. Set your mind on the things above, not on things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. The end is guaranteed. The end is guaranteed. So what's there to worry about? God cares about you right now, so what's there to worry about? So just lumping some of these together for review. Antidotes to worry, humility. Pride will get you worried every time, because pride says it all depends on me, and then you realize, and I can't do it. That's a scary place to be. God never wants us there. Humility, faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. By faith we see the God who has the mighty hand. By faith we read the promises of God. I will never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. My God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. We walk by faith. We trust Him. We pray. We cast all our cares upon Him. We set our mind on things above. Listen to what you're thinking about. Pay attention. And when you catch yourself worrying, tell yourself, stop it. Well, maybe you want to be more gentle than that. Tell yourself, God's got this. I trust Him. Because He does. He's got this. Let's pray. Father, we don't like humbling ourselves. In fact, we really don't much care for having to trust You. We'd rather be able to take care of things ourselves until we realize we can't. And then we worry. Father, may we draw so close to You that we realize You have promised to take care of us. You are with us every step of the way. You will never leave us, nor will You ever forsake us. May we humble ourselves under Your mighty hand, casting all our cares upon You, knowing You care for us. Wow. The Almighty God who spoke this entire creation into existence cares for me. Father, too often I forget that. I get busy taking care of things, feeling like it's all on my shoulders. Remind me, You've got this. Help me, Father, to focus, to set my mind on things above, not on things on the earth. To pursue spiritual goals, not material stuff. Thank You, Father. In Jesus' precious name, amen. May God's grace be with you.